This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, the show that helps you find and follow your bliss. I'm Judy Liebrack, and today I'm joined live in the Zoomer studios with renowned Toronto star, advice columnist, and relationship expert, Lisi Tesher. And I'm so excited about this because I've always found the idea of an advice columnist fascinating. And I was always a huge fan of Dear Abby and Ann Landers growing up, and of course now of Lisi Tesher's too. And I'm also so excited to share that you're all invited to call in today and ask any of your questions. And Lisi will answer them all live on the air. The number to call is toll-free, 1-866-740-4740 or local 416-360-0740. Before we begin, I just have to share a moment of pure Toronto joy that our Toronto Blue Jays won their first game of the World Series last night. Woohoo! What a beautiful and blissful moment in our city. So congratulations to the team and to all of the fans celebrating the big win. Just before we dive into our show today, let me tell you a little bit more about our advice columnist, Lisi Tesher. So Lisi started in journalism in the early 2000s, writing freelance travel pieces and then three weekly columns for the free commuter newspaper Metro, fabulous paper, syndicated all across Canada. And not long after, she and her mother, Ellie Tesher, who's been a guest on my TV show of this same name, co-hosted a weekly radio show for Toronto station CFRB called the Ask Ellie and Lisi Show. And they both answered questions live in real time on the air. And when that ended, Lisi became Ellie's editor and website manager and helped to syndicate the column. And then 3 years ago, Lisi started sharing Ellie's columns while still editing them and maintaining her website. And last year, Lisi officially took over the popular column, which runs 6 days a week and is now called Ask Lisi. Lisi's also a mom, a wife, a daughter, a cousin, an aunt, a sister, and a great friend from a lot of the friends that I checked with. And they all said that. She's lived in six different countries and has traveled to more than 80 through international schooling and through her time working on cruise ships, which I found so cool. I want to ask you about that. Lisi speaks three languages and can get by in a few more. She holds a BA in humanities and a second BA in applied photography with a minor in business. Lisi, welcome to Finding Your Bliss. So great to have you here.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here today.
So
thank
excited. You. And Lisi looks gorgeous. You'll all see this on the YouTube video that's going to come out soon and on, of course, our Instagram at The Bliss Minute, but she looks beautiful. So this is like deja vu for me, Lisi, because I interviewed your mother, as I mentioned before, about 10 years ago on my Rogers TV series, Finding Your Bliss. So it's like, it's really deja
vu. That's amazing.
And I'm fascinated by what you do, as I mentioned, because I grew up reading Dear Abby and Ann Landers, and people used to come to me for advice, which led me to becoming a life coach. And I know you're a journalist. You started off editing your mother's columns and helping to syndicate them, co-writing the column, then doing the CFRB thing. And you both answered questions on the air all about, in real time, about love, family, self-growth topics with empathy and humor. And I just want to say to everyone, speaking of this, our lines are open. If you have a question for Lisi Tesher, just give us a call and Lisi will answer your questions live on the air. Anything about dating, marriage, family, friendship, call in now, 360-0740 or toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. So, Lisi, can you tell us about the trajectory of you stepping into this role completely and really becoming Dear Lisi, which is a really cool gig?
Thank you. Well, it's not untraditional in that Dear Abby and Ann Landers, I'm not sure if you know, but they were sisters.
Yes, identical. Not identical, fraternal twins.
I think they were fraternal twins, yes. And both of them, when they leaned towards retirement, and then when they've both passed, their daughters took over from them. Now, I'm not 100% sure if they, I believe for a while they still use their moniker, And I'm not sure if they're doing it anymore. But that, so the fact that I sort of worked with my mother and then went to take over from her was just very, very natural. My mom loved doing her column. Mm. She loved it so much. But it was just time for her to take a step back. As you mentioned, we are 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday.
Wow.
It's a lot of work. And so it made sense that while I was already doing the editing, maybe I'll just write one, you know. Mom, wow. Oh, you have a headache today? I'll just write one. Not that we ever did that, but it was sort of felt almost that natural.
Wow.
So when she, you know, really wanted to start looking at taking some time, lessening her work,
yes.
We asked the Toronto Star if they thought it would work, and they said, okay, well, we'll give it a try.
Wow. And the rest is history.
And the rest is history.
Isn't that incredible? I love that. Well, we have a question, actually, that one of our listeners sent in by DM. And here it is for you right now.
Okay.
She said, my name is Carla, and I recently moved to another country. I was wondering if you had any advice on how to make friends as an adult, but specifically advice on how to proceed after the usual join a club or take a class. While this is helpful for getting started, I'm struggling with the next step. It seems like I'm the only one looking to make friends at these classes. I realize that I'll likely have to be the one to take the initiative, but as a shy person, I really struggle with this and fear that I will come across as pushy or too intrusive for wanting to be friends outside of the art class. Any ideas for how I should proceed or how to find some courage? I feel like I've forgotten how to make friends. Thank you very much for your input. So, Lisi, any advice for Carla?
Yeah. Okay, well, Carla, good for you for moving to another country. That takes courage. And hopefully you speak the language of that country. That would be the first thing I would say. If you don't speak the language, you need to learn a few key words. And because that will be a barrier for not so much for you, but for the other people.
Sure.
Because in general, people are shy. They stick to what they know. The average person walking down the street isn't looking to make new friends.
Right.
They don't have to because they have their own people. So,
totally. So
it is up to Carla, unfortunately, because she's shy, but it is up to her to take the first initiative. Take the first step, say the first things.
Of course.
She said it was an art class, I believe you said.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they're doing body art and they're doing not necessarily nudes, but when you draw the human figure, maybe they could work outside of class. That might be creepy. As I said it, I was like, maybe that's creepy.
Is that cringy? I don't know.
But if they're, maybe they could work together.
Nice.
It's not easy to make friends as an adult. Yeah. You have to find the common denominator.
Yes.
And the other thing is she has to get out of her home. Wherever she's staying, she has to get out. It's not about going to a club or going to a restaurant, but she just has to leave her house because the
yes.
more she stays in her house, the less she's likely to meet
totally.
Other people. So talk to people in the grocery store even. Let's say she's in a country that is French and it says courgette and she doesn't know what a courgette is. Ask. And even if she does know, just say, excuse me, I'm sorry, I don't speak this language. What is a courgette? You
totally,
know?
Totally.
And that would be a great opening line. I think people are friendly when you ask them for help.
Yes, smart. Mm-hmm. And also I would add maybe asking questions about someone else because people love to talk about themselves. So
they
if you're
do.
Shy, ask a question and maybe they'll start talking and that
yes.
could lead to
yes.
some things.
Good luck, Carla.
Thank you so much, Lisi. I've heard, Lisi, that you are a very warm and caring person who's highly intuitive. I asked a lot of your friends from high school, was Lisi the person that you went to for advice? Like, and I don't know if that was necessarily the case, but people were always drawn to you, is what I heard.
That's so nice.
And so as a young girl and a teenager, did your close friends come to you for advice? Or was this something that always intrigued you about helping other people?
It wasn't that people would come to me and say, Lisi, I have a problem. Can you help? It was just people just tell me things. They just open up to me. People who I'm close with, but also people I don't really know all that well, they just sort of tell me more than you would think is almost normal.
Right.
And when I would come back, come home and tell my husband, oh, I met this person and she told me, you know, XYZ, be like, what? How on earth could she have told you that? She doesn't even know you. So I guess people just feel comfortable. I mean, not to sound fluffy, but I guess my aura is warm and welcoming,
yes,
and inviting for people to talk to.
Totally.
I guess I have to say that I come across as, you know, initially not judgmental, not mm-hmm. sarcastic, not critical, just open and warm and welcoming and
yes.
helpful.
Yes, that absolutely, you absolutely do. And that's what people say about you. But one of the things I noticed is Dear Abby and Ann Landers had a bit of a moral judgment thing happening in their columns. There was a little bit of a little judgy kind of thing mm-hmm. that doesn't seem to exist anymore in modern day columns. And certainly not in your column. I never hear that. How do you describe the difference what's your take on it?
Well, first of all, it was a different era.
Yes.
Right? I mean, it was a long time ago. And we women had to speak differently because the judgment was on us. So Dear Abby and Ann Landers, they couldn't come out and call people out on whatever they were doing wrong.
Right.
Because the judgment would have come back on them. How dare you? So yeah. I think it was just a really different era. Mm-hmm. When I first took over the column from my mom, I wrote a little piece and I said, I'm very different from my mom. She's much nicer than me. She's just like a softer, nicer, you know, and I'm not nice, but if you're going to tell me something that's absolutely crazy, even if it's not crazy, just I'm going to call you out on it. And
yes.
I don't think that there's anything wrong with that.
That's
how I roll.
That's great. So people know that they're really getting it. They're getting the truth. They're getting what you really believe. It's funny because Chelsea, our producer, and I, she read me some of your questions to see how I would answer as a life coach. And I have to say, I was a little more sentimental and you were sort of just pithy and funny and to the point. We had similar answers, funnily mm-hmm. enough, but yours were just so perfect for this job. So you're actually in the perfect place.
It's also important to note that I only have a very limited amount of space.
Right.
And that is a big part of the column. Counting my words is a big part of the column. I can't go on and on. I can't be kind and, you know, I can't fluff it and mm-hmm. I can't pat the person on the back first
right.
and say, oh, I'm so sorry for you and this will get better and, you
yes.
know, life has its cycles, you know,
yes.
all of that is sure, but I don't have time for that.
Right.
So unfortunately, in this particular situation, I really have to just get to the core issue, get
yes.
to the meat of it, and boom.
And boom, give them the answer. And does it come to you right away? Like, do you find you get those letters and you go, yes, I can't wait to get to that computer and just start writing the response? Or does it take a lot more thought and, you know, sort of maybe research even?
So when I get a question, I plug it into my Word document, and then I write an answer right away, just like right off the top of my
nice.
Head, what I'm thinking, my knee-jerk reaction, so to speak. Then I go back and I edit the question down for space and importance. People give me a lot of details. You would be surprised. So I have to edit all of that down. And in editing it down, I then am able to edit my answer. And so it's sort of like this grandiose sort of, you know, mishmash. And then I just slowly make it nicer and more compact and into a nice little square. And so I probably touch a column at least 3 times.
Wow. This is kind of like writing a book, isn't it? It's like
yeah.
you do that rough draft, get it all out there on paper, and then you can go back and paint it and glaze it and shape it and
exactly.
sort of do what you do with a sculpture, right?
But the 3 times, like I really have to be strict with myself because I write 6 columns a week.
Wow.
I don't have time to really think that much about each column. I have to go with my knee-jerk reaction mostly. I can, you know, massage it a little bit. But if I spent too much time on each one, I would never get to the next. And,
wow.
you know, by Sunday, I have to start Monday,
all over
Tuesday,
again.
Wednesday. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite time of day to write? Like the time where you know you're going to be the most, you know, on it and get the most, be the most effective with your time? Is it like a morning thing or a middle of the night thing? Like when
no,
do you do this?
I drive my son to school, and so then I walk my dog, and that's sort of how I start my morning. It gets my blood moving and my brain functioning.
Nice.
And then I come in and I work. So I usually work in the mornings, and then I also work in the afternoons.
Have you?
I try not to work at night.
Wow, that's so
although
great.
I do.
I know. We always have to do it. Do you ever just, have you ever done a column and answered a column and just said, wow, I really just nailed it? I'm sure it happens all the time, but I mean a time where you went, this is an epiphany. This is so good. I would want someone to say this to me if I came to them for advice.
I feel that sometimes, but the problem with this type of Q&A is that you don't often get the person who wrote the question responding to you.
Right.
Sometimes I do. That's the best. When someone writes me in and says, it was my letter. It was my question. Thank you so much for your answer. It really helped me.
Yes.
And then they usually say, now, and they go on to a second.
Wow, wow, wow. That's so cool. So you did this hosting of this talk radio call-in show with your mom, where you both answered the questions in real time like we're doing. What was it like doing that gig with your mom? Was that fun? And did you kind of like both want to answer all the questions and have to?
That was so fun. So we were very prepared. My mom was very prepared. I was pregnant, so my brain was all over the spot. And then I had a newborn under the table. So that was fun.
Wow, wow. Literally, like in the little bassinet and a bucket.
Yeah,
oh,
under the
that's
table.
So great.
And, you know, so for those who know, there are hormones raging when you're pregnant and breastfeeding. So, your thought process. So thank God for my mother because she was very prepared. She had her notes with her. And we just knew what we were going to say, and we know how we're similar and how we differ. We didn't want to fight all that much on the show.
Sure,
it would have probably made for better, like, listening pleasure, but that's not our jam. So we just didn't do that. And we didn't go, oh, yeah, I agree. Oh, yeah, I agree, because that's boring, too.
Right.
So we tried to find the happy medium between, I like what you're saying, Mom. However, I think you're being too nice. And she'd say, I like what you're saying, Lisi. However, stay on topic.
You know? Don't be tangential. And you worked with, we talked about this in the green room just before the show, and my heart was beating. You worked with Strombo, with George Strombo.
Well, I didn't work with him, but he had a show directly after ours. So he was in the studio. He would come in, and then we would sit down and work. And he was hilarious. He gave me energy, and he was just fun. He's a very fun person. We maintained a friendship for a little while. It was harder for me just because I was having all these children, so it was hard to
happy problem.
Yes.
A happy
it was a happy problem, but my focus was on them.
Can you tell me more about Metro News, what that was like and how that prepared you for your current column, Ask Lisi in the Toronto Star?
Oh, so Metro Newspaper was a conglomeration between the largest newspaper in whatever city we were talking about and the owners of Metro. I don't remember. I believe they were Swedish. I could be wrong. Anyway, so they connected with the Toronto Star, and it was actually my stepfather who was editor of that paper when it came to Toronto. It was such a huge success. It was an amazing, amazing newspaper. My mother had a column in that paper under a pseudonym because at the time she was, I believe it was at that time she was writing a book. Yes. So about the Dion quintuplets. So she was writing a book about the Dion quintuplets. She was writing really important, heavy-duty pieces for the Toronto Star. And then she was doing this sort of light, fluffy column in the Metro paper. So she wrote it under a pseudonym. And she needed to stop that. It was just too much. She had too much going on.
Yes.
And so I took over from her. And when I took over, we turned it into three different columns, and they were very specific. One was called A Woman's World. It was women's issues about women, for women, by women. And then there were two others as well. So I wrote three a week. And
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really fun.
What great preparation for this gig that you do now. Do you find you read a lot of books, like self-help books? Are you always sort of on Oprah's, you know, Instagram page to find out what what's the latest and the greatest, just sort of keep current and to...
Yes and no, because I find it can get overwhelming and then you lose your own voice.
Right.
So I don't necessarily always want to know what other people think, because then I'm going to be giving them Oprah's answer. I don't want to give Oprah's answer.
Right.
Ask Oprah.
Right.
I mean, you know,
right.
You know, like, I'm sure you give great advice too, but if they wanted your advice... They should ask you.
They would ask me, the life coach, not ask Lisi the advice. Right. Or maybe they want both of
us. Maybe they want both. I had a friend once who said, I always know who to ask depending on the answer that I want. Right?
She said,
I have one friend who's a lawyer who's very practical, very real, and she's going to just lay it on the line. And then I have another friend who's very like loosey-goosey, and she'll doesn't work, and she'll just give me her airy-fairy answer.
And that's what I need right now.
Yeah,
I don't want
to. So she used to say, I choose where to get my answer.
I love that. That's
right?
So
very
cool.
Very smart.
We're going to go on a short commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk more with advice columnist Lisi Tesher, and we'll be taking calls. Please give us a call at 416-360-0740. We'll be right back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We are back and we are live. And this is Find Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740. We're here with advice columnist Lisi Tesher. And we were just talking about Lisi's career. But before we hear more, I want to take a moment to thank one of our segment sponsors, Ashford Cleaners. Thank you to Ashford Cleaners for sponsoring this segment of Finding Your Bliss. That's Finding Your Bliss. Ashford Cleaners is Toronto's best dry cleaner with hand-finished detailing, laundry, tailoring, you name it, and they'll take care of it while always going the extra mile to make sure you leave with a smile on your face. And they also offer you free pickup and delivery. It's quite lovely when they do that. And it's easy to keep your entire closet ship shape and ready to go. Thanks, Ashford. You're the best. So for those of you just tuning in now, I'm joined by Toronto Star advice columnist Lisi Tesher. And we've been having a wonderful conversation, and we have somebody, I believe, on the air. Is Emma ready to go? Emma is ready to go. Hello, Emma. You are on the air.
Hi, Judy. Hi, Lisi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Hello. How are you?
Hi, Emma.
On this
fine
Saturday post Blue Jays win.
Oh, yes. I'm actually wearing my Blue Jays baseball hat right now, and it's been proving good luck. So
awesome.
I'm going to keep wearing it.
Awesome. Emma, you have a question for Lisi about supporting aging parents.
Yes. Thank you again for having me. I just wanted to touch on the changing of roles as my parents get older. I've noticed that my parents are experiencing challenges that are more difficult as they age. My sister and I want to help out more, but they have always been very strong-willed and like to maintain their independence, which they have imparted onto us as well. But sometimes it's at a cost. And I just was wondering if you had any advice on how I can offer help and still give that respect for their independence. And how do we navigate the inevitable conversation when we do need to step in, whether they want us to or not?
Emma, that's a great question. And unfortunately, it is the cycle of life and happens to everyone. Everyone has aging parents. So I'm sorry for you that you're going through this. And it can be quite difficult. Lucky for you, in a way that you have both of them, so they can help each other, which helps maintain their sense of independence as long as they're capable. I think the best thing is to use humor and keep things light as much as possible, because, I mean, they know they're getting older, right? It's, they don't look in the mirror and think it's not happening. They know they're getting older, and they know that they're losing some of the things that are important to them. Maybe they don't drive anymore, and they used to be very independent driving. Maybe they get confused at the grocery store. Maybe they don't go and get manicures every week anymore, whatever their thing is. Maybe they don't work anymore. So instead of pointing out all the things that they don't do, because they know, unless we're talking about, you know, any diminishment in their mental health, but assuming that their mental health is fine, then they know what's happening. So it's sad for them. So to keep it light and to make things enjoyable, and then I guess what's important is you then have to make the time for them. So if you work 9 to 5 and it used to be that Saturday was your day to go grocery shopping and Sunday was your day to chill, Sunday is no longer your day to chill. And Saturday is your day to go grocery shopping with them and for them. And so spending time with them is the best thing you can do. And then you mentioned you have a sibling. So you and your sibling really do have to have the conversations in advance alone and then talk about them lightly and easily with your parents. But those conversations have to be done sort of sooner than later, because unfortunately with age often comes some mental diminishment, and these conversations have to happen before that happens. Was that helpful?
It was so helpful. Thank you so much. I from the bottom of my heart, I really, really appreciate it. It's been very helpful.
And my pleasure. Good luck.
Moving forward. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Emma, for your call today. Wishing you a lovely day. Thank you so much. Very difficult, isn't it? This is, like, do you get ever, how do you sort of stay unemotional? Because sometimes you can really hear the emotion in her voice. Like, do you ever cry when you get some of these letters?
Of course. I cry. I laugh. I yell. I say, what? You know, like, I just had someone ask me the other day, how do you keep your personal and emotional out? I said, I don't. That is the complete opposite of what I do. All of my answers come from my own personal life experience, you know, plus.
Totally.
Right? So, I mean, if a man were to call in and ask me something that was very male-oriented, I wouldn't be able to answer him from his, you know, I wouldn't be able to honestly answer him.
Yes.
I can only say, well, I don't walk around like that. So I don't know how to wear those short shorts.
Right.
You know, can't help you.
Yeah, we can ask Trombo, though, about that. I'm sure you'd have a
good call, George.
Okay. Do you ever have to consult with other experts because it's just like out of your
absolutely.
Terrain?
Absolutely. So I have a list of friends, colleagues, just acquaintances, people that I know who are child psychologists, general practitioners, family doctors, pediatricians, social workers, mediators. Yeah. I also call the non-emergency police line often.
Wow.
I don't want to give an answer that then someone's going to read and then it's going to get back and the police are going to say, why on earth did you say that? So I will definitely, and they love it. They love it when I call. They pretend they don't, but they do because they always say, thanks so much. Call anytime.
That's so great.
It's really cute.
You're also a celebrity, right? You're Ask Lisi from the Toronto Star.
I don't think they know who I am. I'm always, hi, my name's Lisi Tesher. I have a column in the Toronto Star. And I have a question. I just want to make sure I'm asking correctly.
Good for you.
I call lawyers because I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a doctor.
Yes.
I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. Yeah. I don't want to give an answer that's going to be, you know, quote unquote, wrong. My answer, there is no right or wrong.
Totally.
You're asking me, a private person, for my personal advice.
Right.
I can't tell you that it's right or wrong, but I don't, you know, I just
you want to err on the side of caution and make sure you're leading them, you know, down the right kind of path.
Exactly.
You know, as a life coach, sometimes I'll get somebody and it's deep psychological stuff, which is not my terrain. Mm-hmm. My terrain is that I'm assuming the person is creative, resourceful, and whole.
Right.
And they want to work on a certain area in what I call the wheel of life, you know, whatever that may be. And so sometimes I'll say, you know what, I think this is beyond my terrain, and I'm going to make some recommendations to the Ontario Psychological Association. Have mm-hmm. you ever gotten a letter where you've gone, I don't even think I can answer this, I think I have to pass this on to a professional? Like, how do you navigate that?
No, I've never received a letter. I did receive a letter from someone who I was concerned that they were going to harm themselves and maybe harm others, and so I just sent it back to the Toronto Star and said, what do I do with this? And mm-hmm. should I be calling the police, or is that for you guys to do? And,
right.
and I don't know what came of that, and I can't yeah. follow up on everyone. I do get, you know, questions or emails that I just don't want to answer because they're just not, I mean, you can't even read it. You're
right.
like, what
right.
is this person saying?
So you know
saying?
Right away, yeah, it's not.
Yeah. I don't, you know, the beauty is I don't have to answer anything I don't want to answer.
Right, right.
Right? They come to me. And I can just sift through. It's like,
absolutely.
It's like fan mail. You
absolutely.
Don't have to read it all.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to answer it all. It's amazing. Everyone, if you have a question for Lisi Tesher, give us a call, and Lisi will answer your question live on the air. Is there a common question, like something that comes up all the time, that like are most of the questions about relationships, dating, mating, marriage, divorce, cheating, flirting, like
so,
the obvious thing?
It's funny that you asked that question because I just received an email the other day from a person. Everything is anonymous in the paper, but as you know, when you send an email, it comes from an email address.
Right.
So, and this person, often people actually sign their name, put their address and their phone number, just call me anonymous. I'm like, okay,
now, okay
now I can come over and have tea. But this one person, whose name I did not know, recognize, nothing, wrote me and said, are these questions legit? Because my girlfriend thinks that you're writing about her and you're being a bully.
Good Lord.
So I wrote back and I actually put it in the paper and I said, no, it's not about, I don't know you and I don't know your girlfriend and I'm sorry she feels personally affronted by me, but you have pinpointed the fact that common questions are common.
Absolutely.
Life, the same life is happening to all of us.
It's so
so
true.
She thinks I'm answering, I'm talking about her life, but I'm talking about 35 other people's lives.
That's
because
so
that's
true.
The other thing that happens is that I'll get a question and I'll get the same question and the same question. So I maybe meld them together or I
right.
take a bit of this and a bit of that. I sort of have my, you know,
of
editorial
course.
License to do that. But I'm asking, people have the, everyone has the same problem.
Everyone has the same. It's so interesting, Lisi, that you're saying that because it reminds me of a story I once heard about Saturday Night Live and Lorne Michaels, that three writers of the 18 writers at the time many years ago showed up with the same joke and they all thought they were stealing, that everyone else was stealing the joke and looking over their shoulder. But it was just, it was the zeitgeist, right? It was in
right.
the air.
Yes.
That those were the most funny, popular thoughts at the time. And
yeah.
so they, as brilliant minds, had the same joke. And I love that story because that's very similar to this kind
well,
of.
That's the truth. If you have siblings, you have sibling issues, your sibling rivalry, sibling, you know, competition or not. If you
right.
have parents, they're going to age. If you are in a relationship, hopefully neither of you cheats, but one of you might, one of you might have an affair, or one of you might have a friend that you don't like, or isn't nice to you, or the other one might like. There's so everyone has the same problems.
Do your friends come to you for advice in a way like that's different than anyone else? Like, do they go, Lisi, we know this is your job.
So sometimes I'll be talking to a friend, obviously off, you know, offline, off
right,
camera,
right.
and I'll say, that's a good question. Can I use it? And I change the specifics around only if they say yes.
Yes.
Or they'll say, I've got a great question for you. And then we'll talk about it first. And then I'll say, okay, I'm going to use it, but I'll change this. Because it doesn't matter. If someone writes me in and says, my wife is cheating. We have three daughters. They're this age. And they give me lots of specifics. I can change it to mm-hmm. say, my husband is cheating.
Right.
We have two children.
Right.
It doesn't really matter.
Twins or something. It totally changes.
It doesn't matter.
It's still the same issue psychologically and emotionally. Right.
And I like to often change the specifics because I don't – people are worried. We live in our own vacuum.
Yes.
Right? So people think – oh my gosh, I've written that question and now she's going to put it in the paper and my entire community is going to know it's me.
Right.
So
right.
I do make those little changes just to make them feel better.
I love that.
But also because it doesn't matter.
Right. It doesn't matter.
It's
and
not
that's
in
so
the
compassionate.
Details.
And that's why you're the right person for this. That's so wonderful. Who do you go to for advice when you're really struggling? Do you have certain people like?
I do. I really do.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful to have, yes.
Good friends and good people. At a certain point, you need to have a release, right? You need to have
100%.
Some catharsis.
Yes.
My goodness, that's a lot. Always coming at you. You need to have a place to,
yes.
a place 100%. To go.
I have my people. I'm grateful to them. You know who you are.
I love that. I read that you're in the final planning stages of launching a new podcast expected by late 2025, 2026. No, is that not a thing? You should.
Okay.
What a great idea. Is this not accurate that we'll feature live readings of letters, interviews with therapists and relationship coaches, and behind the scenes looks at your thought process when handling tough reader questions? Am I giving you a great idea right now?
You're giving me the best idea. Where'd you get that information?
I definitely read that somewhere.
But
it sounds...
I'm all over it.
Let's do it. If you need
Let's
any
do
advice,
it.
I'm happy.
Yes, please.
Have you ever thought about a book? Because you've hinted as well at a potential book-length collection of essays, part memoir, part social commentary, reflecting on the emotional themes you've explored over more than a decade of advice column writing. Is that something in the works or something that you think about?
I think that would be something in the future. I don't think that I'm there yet to write a book. I think writing a book, I don't know. My mom wrote a book, but I don't think I'm ready to write a book yet. Although... I used to think I should write a book. Maybe
I see you writing a book.
Okay,
and
I'll write
a
book.
I see you coming back on this show and we're going to talk about the book.
Okay, write a book.
Let's do it.
I'll write a book and I'll start a podcast.
All right. I love it. You'll come back and tell us all about it. This is such exciting news, everyone. We're going to go on a short commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk more with advice columnist Lisa Tesher. Be right back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We are back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740. And I'm here with advice columnist Lisa Tesher. Please give us a call if you have any questions about dating, marriage, divorce, parenting, grandparenting, family, any and all of you. But interestingly, in the break, just to be so transparent, we've been talking about the fact that it is kind of a private thing, reaching out to an advice columnist. And it's not something you don't want people to hear your voice. You don't want them to be able to identify you as sort of a private thing. So writing makes a lot of sense because it's, you know.
Yeah. So that's why when people send me their emails, that's why I actually think it's hilarious that they give me all their, you know, personal information at the bottom, especially when they say, you know, sign me off as scared and lonely, or sign me off as just anonymous. Like,
yes.
Nobody wants to be signed off as Judy.
Right. Dear Judy, with Finding Your Bliss, right?
Right. People don't want that.
Right.
So
right.
We found that also on our radio show, on the Ask Ellie and Lisa show, that people... not everyone was so forthcoming about calling in with questions that pertained to them. So often we would get people saying, I'm calling in for my sister.
Right.
You know,
right.
And this is the question.
Right.
When you knew perfectly well, right?
They're,
but yeah. People, I think Canadians are just a little more private.
Mm-hmm.
as we were just talking about, you know, if we were in the States right now, the phones would be ringing off the hook.
Totally.
And people would be going, yeah, my sister this, and how do you help me? And her name is Jane. You know, they don't care.
Totally,
they don't
totally.
Care what people think. I
yes.
think Canadians are a little quieter, more reserved, and definitely more private.
Yes, and more tightly wrapped. Absolutely. So I'm going to be transparent for a second. As a child of divorce, Lisey, I was 3 years old when my parents got divorced. So knowing my age, even though you don't know my age, we had that conversation. But you get the vibe.
Yeah.
I was really little. And it was in a time when nobody was divorced. So I would walk around my schoolyard saying, I'm divorced with a B. I didn't even know how to pronounce it. And I think I always felt that people would come to me for advice that were in a similar situation because they knew that I would have that empathy and compassion because I had gone through it. How have your unique life experiences shaped the advice you give? Because you seem to be like a very well-adjusted, totally together person.
Oh, wow. Thanks. That's a great question. As I was saying earlier, we all have our own life experiences,
yeah.
And you can try to help people. You know, for example, if someone comes in and said, or if someone wrote in and said, you know, I slept with my wife's sister.
Oh, right.
Obviously, I've never slept with my wife's sister. I don't have a wife, and
right.
I would never sleep with her sister.
Right.
And even if I switched the genders,
right.
I would never be doing that. No,
right.
No, that's
how
not
do you
for me.
Put yourself into that position?
Yeah. Right. So, but I try to understand what their situation was going into that moment mm-hmm. of madness
yes.
and who the other people are in the game. And I try to see, now that's a bad example, because obviously I'm going to say that was the dumbest thing you could have possibly done. And at what point did you and she not look at each other and say, perhaps no? Mm-hmm. I mean, there are thousands of people on this planet. You don't have to sleep with your wife's sister. There's
totally.
Lots of other women out
totally.
There.
Totally. Oh, Lord God.
And that's probably what I would have said. But I feel I have had a lot of life experience. I've traveled extensively.
Yes.
I speak lots of languages, which opens the world up, right? You can be sitting at a restaurant and having your own conversation, but if the people next to you are speaking a language you understand, you can engage them in conversation, which is really fun.
Yes.
You can find out why they're here, why they're visiting, whatever. I am not in any way, shape, or form shy or introverted. So I will ask people anything. I will talk to people about anything. And I used to take a lot of adventuresome risks as you get older and your different stages in life. I feel as a mother, I take less risks.
Totally, eh?
Right?
Isn't that crazy?
I know.
I was such a daredevil when I was 20
yes.
and 18, and now it's like
no.
you're so much more cautious
because
you have kids.
Because you want to be there for your kids.
Totally.
You don't want to be not there. Anyway.
Exactly.
So I have certain things I will never do, you know, adventuresome things that I would never do.
Right.
Like, I don't think I will ever jump out of a plane. It's just not
right.
for me. But all of those things that make me who I am help me answer a question.
Right.
So I think that's also why my mom and I had such different answers, because my mother was born and raised and lived her entire life in Toronto.
Wow.
I didn't, right? My mom, you know, my mom met and married someone from her own community.
Hmm.
I didn't. My parents are long divorced. I was not three, but I was 18. So I just think that changes.
Yeah. You both came in with different perspectives. Also, you worked in television. What did you do in television? Because I know we have our mutual friend, Lisa Siskind.
Oh, so Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. We love you.
I didn't actually work in television. I just did. Sometimes I would have guest spots. Lisa is the one who worked in television, not me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And you went on cruise ships. And I found that
yes.
interesting. Now, were you on a cruise ship as a performer? In what capacity?
No. So I worked on cruise ships for half a dozen years. I loved it more than anything. It was fantastic.
Wow.
I had different roles, but I started out as a kid counselor. And then they thought they were doing me a disservice and they put me with the teenagers. I was like, this is the best thing
ever.
Oh,
my God.
And we had so much fun. We had so much fun. It was super fantastic. And then I switched to a different company, and I became the French hostess. So I would give the announcements from the bridge in French, and I would change all the menus and all the daily activities into French, and I would give tours of the bridge and the galley in French.
So you're bilingual. You're
pretty
French.
Much, wow. Yes, I'll speak other languages.
Parlons
nous
en français. No, just kidding.
And then I worked on a different company, and I was the liaison between the cruise director and the captain. So I really loved working on ships. I saw the world. I met amazing people. I met my husband.
On a cruise ship?
Yep.
That's very cool.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Now, will you guys ever go with your family on a cruise ship for fun? Like, will you ever do that now that you've worked there?
So, again, so interesting you ask, because he and I actually went on a cruise with his entire family after the passing of his grandparents. Wow. His grandfather passed first, and then his grandmother, and they had a ceremony, and we threw their ashes off the back of the ship. It was really beautiful. And the reason we did that was because they were also in the shipping. He comes from a long line of ships captains and people who work in shipping.
That's so cool.
So, yeah, very, very cool. And his grandfather was very world-renowned. He had a half-page obituary in the New York Times, which is incredible. He wasn't even American. Very incredible, yeah. So I did go on with his whole family. But just recently, my family, my husband and my children, we were in PEI, and we saw one of the cruise ships pull into harbor, and we got in touch with one of our friends and said, do you happen to be on this ship? And he said, no, but I'll be in 2 days. And he's the captain of a Holland America ship. And so we went and we took the kids on board, which is incredible, especially with the security now.
Yes.
You know, the world is a different place.
Right.
We used to be able to sneak on and off. But now the security is unbelievable. You can't just go on board a ship.
Right.
But we were guests of the captain, and he took us all over. We had lunch. We went up into the bridge. We went down into the engine room. It was like unbelievable.
That
it was really great experience.
So cool.
I would love to now take my kids on vacation on a ship.
On a ship.
And they'll see, you know, all the cool things they once got to do.
That's really. What do you think you learned from working on the cruise ships that helped you with your advice column?
Oh, wow. I learned how to talk to people who I didn't know the way they needed to be spoken to. That didn't sound right. Not like in a rude way, not in a, you know, but the way what they needed to hear at that time. So if someone was lost on the ship, instead of saying like, how can you be lost? You know, I've been here for a week and I know where I am, you know, which is maybe what you're thinking.
Right.
You say, oh, let me help you with that.
Yes.
And you take them to where they want to be. So it's customer service, really. But I loved it. Like, I just loved getting up in front of, you know, hundreds and new people every week and saying, hi, I'm Lisa Tesher, and this is what I do.
You were
on board.
Like Miss Julie. What was her name?
Julie
on
McCoy,
Love
cruise director.
Yeah,
yes,
I
was
totally
one of my favorite shows
now.
Growing
oh
up.
My God. If they do a spinoff, you could play her.
I would love it more than anything.
That's
just
really
loved
cool.
it. I really, really loved working on cruise ships. It was fantastic. I met amazing
so
people.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's so, so interesting.
Yeah, and traveled the world, places I would never have gone.
Okay, so I have a question asking for a friend. I know that doesn't sound like asking for a friend, but I really
You're
am
right.
asking for a
friend. Right.
Asking for a friend, as Cheryl Hickey and I like to say. And that is being married to a workaholic. Do you get a lot of questions about that? And what do you do?
I do. I don't get a lot of questions about that, but I do get some. And being married to a workaholic is really tough.
Mm-hmm.
The most important thing that whoever is asking the question needs to know is that it's not about them, mm-hmm. right? And they can't change the workaholic unless the workaholic is willing to change. So workaholic, right? It comes with all the other aholics, right?
Alcoholic and all the things, yes.
Right? So if you're addicted to something, you're addicted. It's a disease mm-hmm. of varying degrees, for sure. Mm-hmm. But the person who's addicted has to want to make the change, and there is nothing you can do. You can literally bang your head on the wall. Mm-hmm. But it's not about you. Unfortunately, you are the one who suffers, and perhaps your family and your children, and then you take that on. The children are suffering. How can I get him to change? But it's not about you or the children. It's about them, and they're the one with the problem.
So what can you do to help that person who you worry about their health, asking for a friend, and you want them to be good? And so what can you do? I know you can't do it, but what can they do, or what advice do you have for
That person has to figure out they have to understand really understand and accept. Really, it's like alcoholism, right? You have to understand and accept the other person's boundaries. So if that other person always leaves at 6 a.m. before you and the children are even up, I'm just saying, saying it's a young mother. I'm just making it up. You have to know that. So instead of waking up and saying, oh my God, he didn't get the breakfast ready, he didn't empty the dishwasher, he didn't do anything to help me with these kids, you have to know that and prepare the night before. Get those lunch boxes out there, put everything that's not, doesn't need refrigeration in the lunch boxes the night before. Know in your head or even on a piece of paper what you're making for lunch and what you're making for breakfast, so that you don't have to think. You can just go, because you now have no time, three kids, what, you know, whatever, right? So learn, know the workaholic's limitations and boundaries. I'm not even quite sure which is the right word for that, but know where they fall short of what you want, and then figure out how to fill that gap to help you not constantly be disappointed and depressed and angry and stressed. And then you have to find your own fun. If that person is a workaholic so much and they never take you out on a for dinner ever, you have to find other people to go out for dinner with. And it doesn't, you know, we're not talking about gender, we're not talking about romance, but it doesn't matter. I mean, unfortunately, that's how divorces happen, you know, because you never take me out for dinner because you're working all the time, and I met this really nice guy in the coffee shop and he wants to take me out for dinner. I just want to be taken out for dinner. If you can't find the time to just take me out for dinner.
You know? Interesting. But the best part of that answer is just that it's really up to that person, and you can't, you know, you can't. See, I find, so I had something that happened this week that was a bit of a disappointment, and I'm not going to go into it, but it was a bit of a, just a little disappointment that I ended up working out really well. But what I've learned is about that whole word disappointment, and I'm wondering if you deal with this in some of your answering of questions, is you have to kind of be grateful for what is, not what isn't. You have to be really grateful. I have a child, I mentioned this, living overseas. I have a child living in New York, a singer, musical theater, Lily Liebrack. She's very talented.
Plug, plug.
And, you know, it's hard, right? That's a very, very hard thing when you're a mother that loves her kids and wants to be with her kids. But I find that what I've learned how to do is just to be so grateful for every interaction, the FaceTimes every day, and the visits. You know, all the visits are so special. You almost don't take anything for granted. Do you like talk about this kind of thing in any of your columns, is how to deal with disappointment, how to deal with, you know, or just to deal with missing a kid when you're an empty nester? Do you get questions from empty nesters?
I actually don't get a lot of questions from empty nesters. And it is so lovely to be able to find the gratitude in in those moments. I think not a lot of people are capable of that. I think it's all in the way you form, you know, it's almost like you form the question. Like when your daughter calls, you don't say, oh, nice of you to call after 4 days. That's like something my grandmother would have said, you know?
Like, I'm the opposite. Right? I'm like,
and you're
hello.
Like, oh my God, hi, thanks for calling. I'm so happy to hear from you. Yeah. So I think if you are feeling disappointments, in order to change that, you just, it's like a shift, right? You just need to shift. So I'm doing the hand motions of sending a text, because it's like you're about to send a text and you're like, hey, where are you? Why are you late? Instead of, hi, I'm hoping that we're going to get together in 10 minutes. Right? It's an shift in attitude.
Yes.
And if you change your attitude from disappointment to gratitude,
100%.
Then that's great. But my questions... that's not like enough of an answer, right? Like that's like an empty nester mom who knows her children love her, but they're living their own life, which is what they should be doing.
Which is you've done your job,
right? But my questions more are, you know, like like more like my husband's a workaholic and I'm disappointed.
Right.
There's no gratitude for, oh, yeah, thank you for coming and sleeping in your bed. You know,
although,
that's not enough.
Although a really great person once said to me that when your partner comes home, even if it's at 11 o'clock at night, go, I'm so glad it wasn't 12. I'm so happy to see you at 11. And guess what? The next night they're going to come home at 10. And that's a very true thing.
Do you think?
Yeah. The positive reinforcement works a lot better than the
I think if you say, I'm so glad you're home, but I think if you say, I'm so glad it's 11 and not 12, that's like a little bit of like a, I don't know, a side shimmy.
Just
because it could have been 12.
But you're happy with the time that is, because it could be worse. It could always be worse, right?
It can always be worse.
We have a question. I want to get this in because I know we're ending soon. And we have another question from one of our listeners who sent a DM, and it says, hi there, I have a question about blended families. My partner and I've been together for 15 years. We each have a child from a previous relationship, and while our children were kids when my husband and I first got together, they're both now grown-up adults living on their own. My husband and I have realized we have very different opinions on how much support our kids get now that they're older and living on their own. I'm a bit more generous with gifts, sending money. I love to surprise them with gift cards to a grocery store. They should write this into you. Or even with a surprise Costco order. My husband is more controlled with the budget, only wants to give gifts for birthdays and Christmas. How do I talk to him about this? I know I have the right to act how I want with my own child, but I don't want to leave my stepson out. Sincerely, spending stepmom.
Aw, I love her. I want to get those like Costco surprise packages. I think what she's doing is fantastic. I would do the same thing, like send my kids little gifts. I think that's amazing. Okay, so here's a perfect example of how do you get your personal, right? I'm on her team, right? I think what she's doing is great. I want to be like her. I would do the same thing as her. Do I think her husband is wrong? No. I think he comes at it from a very different level. He's looking at the dollars and cents. She's looking at the love. She's emotional. He's practical.
Yes.
Right? So if all of their money is pooled all of the time, then she has to say to him, okay, starting our budget for 2026, I would like to put aside a budget for fun surprise gifts for our children. Our. That includes everyone.
Nice.
Right?
Nice.
And if he says, we don't have the budget for that, she can say, well, I managed to do, you know, $200 last year just for my daughter. I'd like to do, if 200 is okay, then we'll split it between the two of them. But don't you think we could maybe not this, not that, do this, do that, somehow find 200 for each of them?
Yes.
Right?
Nice.
And that's if all of their money is pooled. If all of their money isn't pooled and she has her own little nest egg, she can do whatever she wants.
Right.
And she doesn't have to answer to him.
Totally.
If it's her own money, she can spend as much as she wants on her daughter and as much as she wants on her stepson, especially. And I love the fact that she wants it to be equal.
Yes. So lovely.
He should leave her alone. No,
totally.
He should give her money.
Very briefly, because we're at the end, there's a question we ask everyone at the end of the show, and of course we're going to ask it to you. What is bliss for Lisi Tesher?
Oh, what is bliss for me? Bliss is a beautiful day. I love being outdoors. Bliss is being with my family, my husband, my children, my parents, my dog. I especially love my dog. bliss is... I like to be active. I like playing sports. I like snow skiing and water skiing. And I love to play tennis. Tennis is definitely my happy place. I love to play catch ball.
That's so great.
Yeah. I love watching TV on the couch. I actually love doing laundry. Don't hate me.
Wow.
I do. I love doing laundry. I love folding and watching TV. I love my friends. I love laughing. I love going out and having a good night out. I love dancing.
That's so
those
great.
Are all the ways
you're
I
a
find
great person, Lisi Tesher.
Thank you.
So glad that I got to meet you today.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
What's the best way for people to contact you, get in touch with you, send you their advice questions?
Well, anyone can get in touch with me through Instagram at Lisi Tesher, and also you can send me your questions. Lisi@thestar.ca. And you can just Google me, find me there. I mean, you know, I'm not going to give you my personal phone number, but those who know it.
At the Toronto Star, people can just email you at the Toronto
Yes,
Star.
Yes, 100%.
And awesome.
If for some reason they want to send me something physical, they can do that to the Star as well, like letters. I get letters also.
That's great. That's so great.
Old school style.
Each week we spotlight a fabulous person like Lisi Tesher who's living their bliss. If you're an author, artist, yoga, meditation, mindfulness expert, really anyone who has found and is following their bliss, we'd love to hear from you. We also love to feature singer-songwriters on this show. Just reach out to us at fyb@findingyourbliss.com. And for those of you who don't know, I'm also the bliss coach. That means I help you get unstuck, gain clarity, and find your passion and purpose. I'm also on Insight Timer, the number one free meditation app. We did some breathing off the top. All you have to do is search me up, Judy Liebrack. And of course, you can always follow us at The Bliss Minute on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. I'd like to thank our wonderful, truly wonderful guest, Lisi Tesher, for being on the show today. Also, thank you to Meg Ruffman, Siobhan Kiley, producer Chelsea Lockstedt, producer Eva Shabatai, Olivia Vigiani, audio engineer Juliana Anciello, senior editor Lauren Kaminsky, video editor Sierra Brown Rodriguez, audio producer Faz Kazi, and Owen, and also Emma from Shutterbee, and everyone here at Zoomer. Of course, a big thank you to our sponsor, the Create Fertility Center, and also to our segment sponsor, Ash for Cleaners. For everyone here, I'm Judy Liebrack, reminding you all to take one step closer to finding your bliss.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.